Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios. This is Old School, brought to you by Sand Hills Global. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Happy Friday, everybody. Congratulations. You made it through another week. You are 1 week closer to Husker football in Ireland. Congratulations. Happy Friday. Welcome into Old School on 93.7 The Ticket, theticketfm.com. DP, Jay Foreman here to greet you and talk about whatever you want to talk about. Honda of Lincoln Hotline, Sartor Hamann text line, 402-464-5685. Join in on the conversation and join in on the stream. Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter, the Sartor Hamann Jewelers live video stream. Old School, sponsored by Sand Hills Global. Sand Hills Global has hundreds of job opportunities and internships at their global headquarters here in Lincoln. If you head to sandhills.jobs today, you can apply for any one of those hundreds of job opportunities. Again, that's sandhills.jobs. Go apply today. Gentlemen, we made it through another week.
Can I start out? I'm going to vent, and then I'm going to get into space. Okay. So Hall of Fame – Yellow Jackets, it means something. It means something. It's supposed to be the best of the best of the best of the best.
Right.
Best of the best of the best. People who have contributed to the game of football at a level where if you want to talk about the history of the NFL, these people have to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to speak to these people. The greatest of the greatest situations, the greatest rivalries, the greatest games, the greatest moments, the greatest plays. So, and again, let me say it up front. I apologize to the person I'm about to speak about because I have to speak about them to elevate the next person. You cannot talk about the history of the NFL without talking offensive line play. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. Right?
And you cannot talk about the history of line play in the NFL without talking about the Hogs.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We're picking up what you're putting down.
Right? Okay. And then, of the Hogs, the guy who transcended the game and transformed the game by being key rival and opponent to the greatest defensive player in the history of the NFL, at his apex, Lawrence Taylor would come in and just devour offenses. He would destroy schemes. He would destroy players' careers and resume. At his greatest moment, he had to defeat a certain player. At his other moments, he was defeated by this player.
Yes.
That in a time where in that division you were facing Reggie White, Harvey Martin, Ed Tuttle Jones, Lawrence Taylor, so on and so forth.
Right.
And there was one man who was so outstanding, so excellent, that he changed the way defenses attacked Washington.
Right.
His name is Joe Jacoby. Big Hog. Big Hog. You cannot talk about the history of the NFL and offensive line play at any level in any space without talking about the Hogs and Joe Jacoby. Now,
well, they still talk about
them. Three Super Bowl championships, three, with three different quarterbacks
right
behind
that's,
him.
That's impressive.
Three yeah. different starting running backs in all of those games who all pumped for 100 yards in the Super Bowl other than against in the loss to the Raiders. Right? Dominant. We saw one of the greatest plays in the history of the league. I think they ranked it number 19 all-time greatest play. John Riggins, touchdown run against the Dolphins in the Super Bowl. Lead block on that play. Who'd they run behind? Joe Jacoby.
Did they run behind Joe Jacoby?
Joe Jacoby. Now, I'll say all that. This young man's not in the Hall of Fame. His partner, Russ Grimm, is it. Kudos. Kudos. But he's the only hog in the Hall of Fame. Boo! Because Joe Jacoby's in. Now, here's why I get really mad. See, the NFL, you've lost your way a little bit. You've lost your way. Because you're supposed to have the Hall of Fame be about the best ever. The greats. And you put in Tony Boselli, who never played in a meaningful football game in his entire NFL career.
Right.
Tell me what matchup Tony Boselli had with any great player in the AFC. Well, that, there isn't one.
Well, how he got in his marketing campaign was the playoff game, actually, which was a meaningful game. He never got to play in a lot of meaningful games because he always was hurt. But the one he did play in was against Bruce Smith, and that was his thing that they said Tony Boselli shut Bruce Smith out. Bruce Smith was not happy about that. And he even said or alluded to that Tony Boselli shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. And he definitely said, don't make your Hall of Fame campaign based on one game against me. This is a career.
We're talking about a career. I just posted.
You can find that article. Bruce Smith talking about that.
I just posted the video of Jacoby, and it's him against the Eagles when they had Jerome Brown and Reggie White. Like, they had thumpers.
Yeah, but DP, you got to understand. Here's what I've grown to learn about the Hall of Fame process, which obviously, you know, with my dad kind of waiting and I guess hoping to get in, and hopefully it does before, you know, he gets too old and obviously, you know, want him to be alive, is a lot of it is, well, first of all, for Steve, I think Steve Young was the first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, nothing against Steve Young. A lot of these guys are on, and this is the thing, that when NFL Network, they kind of told on themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they had Michael and Dion, which was must-see TV, those two. Whereas they were talking to guys and say, we'll get you in. Chris Carter was like that. So what guys are doing, and they're getting in a lot sooner, is they're on TV. Tony Boselli works for Westwood One, does a great job calling games, does TV games as well. So you're in the face of people that are voters. And so you're, you know, present day as well. And with the overblown, with the way the games change, stats are way, you know, you can get stats a lot easier in this day and time. You get in, and then every year that somebody gets in at, say, said position, it pushes back the Russ Grimms. It pushes back possibly the Jeff Bostic. It pushes back the, you know, like even, for instance, like I know.
I mean, Jim Lachey. Let's have that discussion.
Even
let's
like,
have,
you know, guys like Steve Jordan.
Jordan Gross, who actually just thumped people all over the NFC.
Jordan Gross won't get in. But guys that like that deserve to, you know, possibly
get Buffalo in. Has two linemen that should be at least in the conversation ahead of Boselli.
Yeah, but then also what goes into it is what you need to understand is – the two teams in the Hall of Fame game have a player going in. It's politics. It's who the organization is going to push to get in. Jaguars are going to push Tony Boselli. What's the best thing for the Jaguars to do after they just had the worst coach and the worst culture in NFL history? Their number one pick of all time goes into the Hall of Fame, Tony Boselli.
Of all the people and all the teams to choose from, to choose Jacksonville, shame on you.
Well,
There was no reason to pick Jacksonville.
But there's not teams that are going to sign up. They're not raising their hand to play in that game.
Any team that says that, I got issue with anyway, because it's not about you. It's about you, your players, and your fans. Like, stop being selfish.
But it's about their players being narcissistic. They'd rather have a home preseason game where they make a ton of money and pay the players a tenth of what the payroll is. And pocket that money. So
I get moved. Well, that's horrible business.
No, it's good business for the owners.
No. Look, I'm done telling people that because you make more money off of it, it's good business.
Well, I mean, they're running a business, though.
No, but Jay, you're a part of a league. You're part of a partnership of 32. And guess what? You're accountable to your fans. You're accountable for the players who leave body parts all over the league. In 30-plus cities, you leave body parts. Bro, you are carrying it today.
Yeah, but
they should be – you know what? They take the Hall of Fame game and put all of that money back in the alumni pool where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it should be, but put it's not. They'll fight tooth and nail, but that's a whole nother thing. And
well, but this is –
But you got to understand – But you got to understand how the process worked. I didn't realize how – I always kind of felt like if you were – a transcendent player during the time that you played, that you would get in. But then as, you know, kind of talking to my dad and talking to different people, it a lot of times it has nothing to do with how – I mean,
but
there's guys
silly.
that are questionable to get in.
Jay,
questionable to get, like your dad
should
there's
be
There's some
in.
Guys that I would probably venture to say that probably were a little bit better than Cliff Branch.
Well, what Branch –
It took Drew Pearson decades to get in.
What Branch did – I said yesterday that he was one of the he and Bullet Bob Hayes were two of the great deep threats in a time where deep balls weren't thrown at that level. The fact that they put Lance Allworth in before you put in Bob Hayes and Cliff Branch is a question I have.
Right.
But
it's all it's
Biletnikoff.
All, it's all,
you put in Biletnikoff before you put in Bullet Bob Hayes. They averaged 22 yards a catch.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Right.
Come on. Like, oh, so I get that. But Chuck Foreman revolutionized the position. You can't talk about running back play in the NFL without talking about Chuck Foreman. You can't. Nobody that knows football.
You got to get the ownership behind you to push it.
Well, but quite frankly, you know what? People with a microphone.
It falls on the ownership. It falls on the local media up in Minnesota. And
well,
then,
I'm going to be loud.
And then you need to get – people behind the mic. Now the NFL is trying to do more of the senior committee and stuff like that. I think if they decide to put in four modern day players, right? So just say like the Peyton Manning area, or, guys more recent, then you need to match that with senior players getting in. You get what I mean? Players that have already passed, I think, the 20 years or whatever. Because there's a lot of guys that are getting forgotten there. But you got to think, even on the Vikings teams from when I was a ball boy, okay? If you look at Steve Jordan's stats, their Hall of Fame stats, if you look at
– For the tight end position at that time,
they're next level. But they're comparable to today's time. If you look at Joey Browner, that he revolutionized the first really true big physical safety that played in the box and still could play the pass. Then, what – really could help my dad is if, which is kind of backwards, is Roger Craig getting in, because Roger Craig is more recent than my dad, where he had the 1,000-yard receiving, 1,000-yard rushing, and he obviously has more Super Bowls than my dad.
But there's going to be a run.
Right. It just kind of takes one to get
like
going.
Chuck will get it going because somebody will get upset enough to do it, and then the discussion will happen this way. And I can tell you, here's the pocket of five guys who are all in the space with your dad as a product of your dad, but guys like Terry Metcalf.
Yeah, those guys, yeah.
Chuck will get in, then Terry Metcalf, then you're Roger Craig, then you're going to – one more time, you go back in the space of guys who change the position the way it's done and then produce it at a max level, then you're talking about Brian Mitchell, Devin Hester.
Kind of like along the same lines, but you just need one. Even like Steve Tasker, because when Steve Tasker goes, than Slater from the New England when he eventually retires to go in and those type of guys. So
who goes it? Who goes it for like, let's say they're five special teamers, because and we tend to think returners first, but think about guys who excel. Are there enough guys who excelled at special team play, not as just as returners, but as defenders? Because Brian Mitchell covered as well.
Like yeah, you think returner Devin Hester, the second Brian Mitchell. Brian Mitchell has the best stats as far as everything because he did punt return and kick return, and Steve Tasker returned as well. But
does Hester have a chip?
No,
they made it.
But Devin Hester.
He has so many records.
But Devin Hester was must see TV. Yeah. I mean, those guys need to get in, but it's going to take, you know, really, really, to be honest with you, if there was more humility at, because like if Marshall Faulk was sitting in here, I've talked to Marshall about this a few times. I've met him, talked to him about it, and he knows, you know, my dad had helped him. Now, granted, Marshall Faulk took it to a whole nother level, but. You get a guy like Marshall Faulk, and maybe not now since, you know, obviously he had some stuff going on, but you have somebody that's on, readily on networks in front of people, really, is it pay it forward or pay it back to players like even Roger Craig and my dad, then that's what gets it going. But there's too many guys getting in, whether you like it or not, and obviously, I don't like it, and I'm not biased towards my dad. I can recognize what he's done.
No.
You know, he's one of the few MVPs not to be in. He was Rookie of the Year. He was the first to lead the league in rushing and receiving. Up until LaDainian Tomlinson, which is modern day, and LaDainian is in, he's the fastest to 50 touchdowns, and that was back when they played 12 and 14 games.
Mm-hmm.
So they started out at 12, and then they played 14.
Yeah.
And he was the first, you know, kind of like to be the big back that could, you know, run and catch and all that. And so, you know, to be honest with you, it's just going to take some time. But there's a team aspect to it, ownership aspect to it, that is weird because, like for the Vikings, and this Jim Marshall's like an uncle to me, right? They're probably not trying to push Jim Marshall to the Hall of Fame. There's nothing against him. But the most sacks he's ever had in a season is 5.5. But he played 20 years. Like, you don't get in the Hall of Fame for longevity. You get in it for production. So if you're pushing a player that's not going to get in, then you're not pushing a player that should get in. So there's a lot of things that go into it. And Cliff Branch and Tony Boselli are a product of their two teams playing it. Don't think that didn't play into it. And so, you know, there's guys that'll get in. You know, it's kind of like
–
I remember talking – to Eric Moltz I was in Charlotte because Eric Moltz lives there, and we were just catching up, you know, just drinking a couple beers and talked about Ty Law making it to the Hall of Fame. Every time that Eric Moltz played against Ty Law, he torched him.
Right.
Torched him. Mm-hmm. But Ty Law, super.
Great marketing team behind him.
Not saying that Ty Law should be in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. But you don't ever hear Eric Moltz, Eric Moltz stats is up there too. I mean,
he was a different kind of receiver.
He was kind of like Andre Johnson first. Well, why isn't Andre? You're trying to tell me right now?
We called him Art Monk Jr.
Are you trying to tell me right now Andre Johnson isn't a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Was he on the ballot this?
He didn't get in this year.
Yeah,
I didn't know he was on the ballot.
There's insanity.
This would be his first year.
There's another piece in the space, and I just got a text, and I want to read it because it was just. I want to say thank you for sharing this. You read this right. Finally, Dad is getting a bit of recognition. He is not on the Buffalo Bills Ring of Fame or the Washington Redskins. But finally, the University of Nebraska is honoring Ron McDowell, the dancing bear. Now, just a little bit in this space that Ron McDowell was a five-time All-AFL defensive tackle for the Bills. Five times in 6 years. Member of the Redskins Ring of 70 greatest players. Now, he's not in the Ring of Honor, but he was voted one of the 70 greatest players. There are two Huskers that are in this space that should be. Now, Pat Fisher is in the Ring of Fame, of course, former Husker. And then Ron McDowell should be in that space. There are too many players who, because young media don't know who they are, and old media aren't willing to fight for who they for what this is. There are players who deserve to be a part of it. There are two Huskers. Look, Pat Fisher, again, you can't talk about cornerback play in the NFL without talking about the battles back in the day between Pat Fisher and Drew Pearson and Harold Carmichael and et cetera, and Mel Gray. This was huge. Like, we understand this is why TV ratings began to soar, because you kept putting these players on TV. And these are two guys are part of one of those great names, the Over the Hill gang, that went to back-to-back Super Bowls. And you go, well, why don't you talk about it? Well, because people are mentally lazy, and they respond to what they're fed. I just wanted to say, look, a chance to say this today. First of all, Joe Jacoby, you deserve your jacket. Second of all, Chuck Foreman, you deserve your jacket too. Roger Craig, you deserve your jacket. Ron McDowell, Pat Fisher, y'all deserve all the flowers y'all can get.
But the people with microphones
and who write the stories, y'all got to do better. That's all I'm saying.
It's no different than any other type of – nobody knows who – I don't know who are in hiring processes at the universities. Like, if you went to Ohio State, you probably don't know who all the Board of Regents are, but they have a heavy hand in who's hired, how things go. Mm-hmm. It's no different. Like, you don't know who all the reporters are. It's just no different. So, like, okay, so remember the LeBron's great seasons, right? Remember when you're unanimous MVP? Mm-hmm. Who's the one – you never – there's, like, one guy that says, I'm going to vote for Jay Foreman, and he plays for, you know, the Atlanta Hawks, and he's the sixth man. Like, but you never know who they are, you know, even for Heisman voters. You never know who these guys are. It's like, and I always tell the story. I think Lee Barfnick, I didn't realize that he voted for Michigan. I didn't realize that until Jason Peter informed me, right? Mm. And I thought Jason was joking, right?
Yeah.
But he's like, you know, a couple minutes, he's like, I was like, dude, were you joking? He was like, nah. And I couldn't believe it, right? So you just never know. Who's in it and who's the writers? I remember, I don't know if he writes for Pittsburgh still, but he wrote for a Pittsburgh Gazette. And I met him out at the NFL broadcast media boot camp. Asked him about it. And he's like, my job is to get as many Steelers in as possible. Period. Influence and get guys to get Steelers in. Now, granted, when you're in four Super Bowls, but afterwards. Mm. Because if you don't think Hines Ward's going to get in, you're crazy.
They love him. That's why they're putting him in these other leagues coaching.
Yeah, you just took the words out of my mouth.
That's literally how all of that is.
Out there, and then,
I do want to say this before we go to break.
And look, when I say this, and I don't mean to cut you, this is not hating, you know, or anything on other people. This is just reality.
Just do basic stuff, right? John and Cortland post this, and I really like this as well, and it's a great thing to land on as we go to break. What really helped was the guy who started the plays for the Vikings, Lexington, Nebraska's own Mick Tinglehoff, and a guy who ran Pro Bowls and all pro situation scenarios his entire career. So there's tons to talk about, but up next, Rico, tell us what's up here on Old School.
You're listening to Old School with DP and Jay. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.